Whenever I asked to lead a service, as now being retired, and I don't know a lot about Leduc in terms of what are some of the dynamics that are living here, and so it's what topic is going to be of interest? Well, an area that I've been thinking about, and I hope it resonates a little bit with you, is as we are transitioning now back to normal, if I may put it, after the pandemic, and I know we're not after, it's not done yet, I realize that. But one of the areas that has really been affected, I think, is the whole whole Sunday, the whole Sabbath, the whole worship. We weren't allowed. It's good to see many of you here. I was here in May, and so there's more people here now than there were in May. We've been getting used to maybe worshiping in our pajamas over the computer. And it's sometimes a lot easier. And my concern is, are people really going to come back? Is it a priority, or have we gotten into some habits? You want to watch Leduc service, or you want to watch a service from Australia or wherever. I mean, you can do that now with computers. And so, anyway, this was my thought pattern. This is what I was thinking about. And again, I hope it somewhat resonates. And so, it's a call to recognize the importance of rest, to recognize the importance of Sabbath. So anyway, that's how I got here, and I guess you'll just have to bear with it. So the reading is from Mark chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 23. Now, Mark begins the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. And so it's put in very plain terms. So that's what the Gospel of Mark is about. Okay, here is Jesus. I want to say kind of take him or leave him, but these are the claims that he makes. Do you embrace them? Do you say, wow, this is really something? Or do the Pharisees have a better way of living? And so here are some of the claims Jesus makes. And one of the claims is about Sabbath. And, it's a profound, profound claim. He's Lord of the Sabbath. Whoa. Anyway, so here we go then. Verse 23 of chapter 2 of Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did?" And that's in 1 Samuel 21, by the way, what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need. In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. He then said to them, "The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see what he would do to heal, if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thinking of running for council in Red Deer over this coming October, and I already have a campaign, and the campaign is based on the fact that I want to cut our taxes in half. Well, how are you going to do that? Because I think it might resonate with a few people. Well, the way I'm going to resonate, or the way I'm going to do that, is I'm going to eliminate parks. I figure that'll do a couple of things. First of all, it will make a lot of land, and parks are usually nice pieces of land, and so they will be in demand, and so people will buy it, and so that will get some revenue. Plus, we can let go some of the park maintenance people, and so that would really be able to cut our taxes in half. Do you think that would resonate with the people? Do you think if somebody here in Leduc came and said, "Well, we're going to get rid of all the parks," I'm not sure which parks you have here, but I'm sure there are many. I don't think so. And as a matter of fact, I hope not. Parks play a very, very important role in our lives. You know, maybe you've been to Vancouver. You know, they have their Stanley Park, 1,001 acres, right in the heart of Vancouver. And even ordinary little houses are worth $1 million. So you can imagine if they turned that into lots and for high rises, and people would be scrambling to get there. It would be a windfall. But anyone who would bring that up would be run out of town, and well, they should be. Parks are, in that sense, sacred ground. It's holy ground. Parks remind us of the environment as it should be. Maybe you know, people are thronging these days to Jasper and to Banff and to beautiful places like that. Parks are for recreation, to be recreated, to be able to breathe again, to be able to recognize what life is all about. You catch your breath. That's what going to parks mean. Now, of course, there are some people who say, parks are frivolous. You know, I mean, that's just a waste of time. You got to be working. You got to be building. You got to be doing your business. You got to be earning money. And all this other, just going to parks and you're just doing nothing. Yeah, that could be a reaction of some people. But in this world, where there is a lot of anxiety, where there is a lot of stress, people recognize the importance that parks play in our lives. There are plenty of places where people can live and they don't have to take the parkland to live there, even though it may be very, very nice. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to substitute the word park with Sabbath. Because I think Sabbath, in that sense, plays the same role in terms of what parks do. It is sacred territory. It is sacred land. Yes, we can say, look, it's important to work. We don't need that time off. We got to get ahead. But if anything, there's way too much stress and anxiety and all of these, and the person dealing with the talking about gems, where even girls talking about the burden that is on them. It just really struck me at such a young age already. They're talking about this is a tremendous need in our land. And so traditionally, the Sabbath was celebrated and commemorated on Sunday. I know in the Old Testament it was the Saturday, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and people gathering together the first day of the week, and so then the Sunday became a Sabbath day celebration. Now, in terms of some of the practices of Sabbath, they have changed quite a bit, certainly in my lifetime. I remember growing up in Victoria that on the Sunday, if downtown we had the T. Eaton Company, and maybe some of you remember that department store, that's long gone too already, but they had curtains along their windows. They didn't want people to be even tempted on a Sunday to be thinking about a new dress or shoes or whatever, you know, stuff that they might want. No, so the curtains, their curtains were closed. Things have changed. Farmers would never think about, Christian farmers, would never think about going and doing land work on a Sunday, even if the weather report was that there was a storm coming in on Monday. They refused to work on the Sunday, and so these were the traditions. And I remember, and maybe some of you are older people. We weren't allowed to ride our bikes, and we weren't allowed to do all of these sort of things. We had our Sunday clothes. I don't know how many ties I see, but not too many ties, and I'm not being critical at all, I'm just observing that there have been tremendous changes in terms of the Sunday and the Sabbath experiences. So this is what we have been doing, but again, things have changed. But one thing that I do have to ask myself, and I have to ask all of you, is even though the practice of Sabbath observance has changed, are we still practicing Sabbath? Because Jesus came into this world and he didn't say, okay, well, I'm here now and I've come to abrogate, I've come to do away with all those Sabbath regulations. No, he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and now you will find that Sabbath rest in me. And so we ask ourselves, are we still celebrating Sabbath, and are we finding it in Jesus Christ? That is the question that I think we need to be asking ourselves. He gave the Sabbath as a blessing, as a gift. And yeah, we can ignore it. We can just go our own way. We can. But it would be for our detriment. And so we look at this Sabbath blessing. We look at chapter 2 there here of Mark in the beginning of this gospel. Here Jesus, as I've mentioned already, Jesus is making a claim, and here already he's done some controversial, made some controversials, and he's forgives sin. Well, the Pharisees are, what? Who does he think he is that he can forgive sin? He eats with sinners. How can he... He, he's questioned about fasting. And so there's all these claims that Jesus is making, and now here he comes to another controversial subject regarding the Sabbath. We read here that the disciples of Jesus, they're going through a grain field, and while they're going, we assume that they are hungry, because when Jesus mentions about that Samuel 21 with David and his men, they were hungry. So we assume that on this Sabbath day they were hungry, and so they picked some grain. Well, the Pharisees had 39 categories of what was work, and certainly gleaning and reaping and all was considered to be work, and it was absolutely forbidden on the Sabbath. So if you would ask a Pharisee what it meant to be godly, many of them, I think, would focus on Sabbath, on how you observed the Sabbath, and by that you could gauge whether you were godly or not. And if I'm truly honest with myself, if you would have asked me a number of years ago, what makes you Gary Bonhoeff, what makes you a Christian? And I think somewhere along the line, I would have answered, well, I go to church on Sundays, and I don't work on Sunday. In other words, I would have answered that question in terms of what I did or did not do on a Sunday. You know, I remember once listening to a pro, I think it was a football player, I'm not sure, but this individual gave a beautiful testimony of his faith in Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ affects him, who he is as a man and a human being. And I was listening to that, and I was happy with what he was saying. But then I said to myself, well, but I don't think you can really be a Christian because you play pro sports on Sunday. You know, that's how deeply it was ingrained in me that what you do or do not do on a Sunday makes you a Christian. But now here Jesus says, hey, don't you remember the story of David and his men who were out on their own, and they were famished? And they came to the temple, or they came to the place where the Abiathar, the priest, and the showbread, which was only for the priests. But he gave it to them and to the men to feed them. Now you might ask yourself, what does that have to do with the Sabbath? Well, here you see, it seems that the Sabbath had a law in the Old Testament, there was a temporality to it. It was it pointed to something or to someone, and of course now we know that it points to Jesus Christ. David and his men, they were away from their families, their wives, we've been lacking intimacy, and so we should have some adulterous affairs to satisfy us, to satisfy that hunger. You see, that's a moral law. That there's nothing temporal about that. But this particular, on the showbread, it was pointing to someone else. It was pointing to Jesus Christ. And so here Jesus makes a profound claim. I am Lord of the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath doesn't make you holy. Jesus makes you and me holy. That's what we're going to start wrapping our heads around, that we testify to what Jesus has done in our lives. And again, I can only emphasize that so much, but he does not say, forget about Sabbath. You want to? You're hungry? Go out and do this, do that, whatever you want to do. No, you find the Sabbath rest in me. Well, I guess we should ask ourselves, what is rest? Well, already it begins at the very, very beginning of the Bible, where after God created the heavens and the earth, he rested on the seventh day. What does that entail? It doesn't mean he just kind of took a nap or that he went to bed. Or what does that mean? No, he reflected on what he did. He was completely satisfied in what he had done. Behold, it is very, very good. That's what this rest is. And so Jesus Christ. And so how do we find that rest in him? You see, again, it is not just simply what we do or do not do on a particular Sunday, but we find that rest in Jesus. How do we celebrate that? Well, in this day and age, we often define ourselves by what we do. You know, as a pastor over the years, I was only as good as my last sermon. And so there was a tremendous pressure to be as good as you can be. And what if people don't think well of me? Or, you know, you start thinking about all of those sort of things. Maybe some of you are in sales. You are only as good as your last sale or whether you meet your quota. And if you don't meet your quota, woe is me. How come this is happening? Because you define yourself, who you are as a person in terms of what you are doing. A student, you're only as good as the last marks the high marks that you have. And so there's a tremendous burden. There's a tremendous pressure on our lives. That's who we are, or that's who we think we are. That's what we think we have to accomplish. We identify ourselves with our bank accounts, how much money we have in our banks, and or with our land, or the number of cows, or whatever. This is how we identify ourselves. In the movie Rocky, Rocky was asked, "Why do you go through that tough training?" And he says, "Then I'll know I'm not a bum." I want to know that I'm significant, that I am a somebody. You know, now today there's the Olympics. Well, maybe you remember the movie Chariots of Fire. There was Harold Abrams and Eric Liddell. And Eric Liddell, he had to, one of the heats was on a Sunday and he was not going to run, and so he forfeited the race. But Harold Abrams, again, what did he say? He said, "I have 10 seconds to prove the worth of my existence." You see, that's the pressure that people are on. But Eric Liddell, where did he find his peace? Where did he find his serenity? Where did he find that calmness? He found it in his faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus who came to earth. Jesus who died on the cross. Jesus who said on the cross, "It is finished." You don't have to accomplish things to be worth it. You are worth it because I embrace you, because I love you. You see, this now is what we want to celebrate. And so the Sundays, I believe, are a tremendous, tremendous gift. That we, you know, when I walked into church a bit earlier today, the music team was practicing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And I was thinking about that, you know. When we stand before Jesus, what What do we know will carry on? I don't know if there's going to be a gulf in heaven. I don't know what kind of economy will be in. But one thing I do know is that together we will be worshiping and we will be praising God. The book of Revelation makes that so abundantly, abundantly clear. And so, congregation, I hope and pray that not as something that we must do or we got to do. No, this is a gift. This settles us. We don't have to accomplish things. Sure, we have a calling as a salesperson. We have a calling as a pastor. We have a calling as a farmer. We have calling, whatever your calling may be. Of course we have these callings. But that's not your story. That's not who you are. I am one who has been redeemed by the love, through the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus performs quite a few miracles, as it were, on the Sabbath. And why does he do that? I think it's because Jesus is all about restoration, about healing. Yes, the man with the shriveled hand, certainly focusing on healing. But also, I believe, in terms of skewed ways that we look at our lives, that in terms of what we have to accomplish. No, he heals that. He gives us rest. He says, you are my child. This is what Jesus is all about. This is why he came into the world. Now, again, and there are many examples, but I'm thinking of somebody who is kind of maybe bullied, and that's so unfair. But when that person comes to church, when that person hears the good news, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I embrace you. You are mine. This is good news. This makes a difference. This makes a difference, or certainly ought to make a difference in our lives. And so this is just a blessing that we have. Somebody has put it this way. It's not so much that I keep the Sabbath, but rather the Sabbath keeps me. And I believe that is absolutely true. Congregation, we recognize the importance and the role that parks play in our lives. And they are indeed a blessing. There's something sacred about it, and there's something wholesome, and it kind of shows us the way that the way life should be. Well, if that's true for parks, it's even so much more true for the Sabbath. And again, yeah, we can ignore it. We can, but then let's not be surprised that stress levels go up, that people try to find their rest and find, you know, their peace in other ways, many times now in drugs, and the fentanyl crisis is a scourge also in our own province of Alberta, and these are things that will carry on. But to this aching world, Jesus, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I want to give you rest. I want to give you peace. I want to give you serenity. This is what I have come to do. And so we gather together and we pray for these things. We celebrate Jesus, who said, it is finished, the gift that he has provided. And then, like God, at the very foundation of the world, we may look at what Jesus has done, especially being reminded of that at the Sabbath, that we're reminded of what he has done, and we're able to say, and behold, it is very, very good. Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious, precious gift. We have not always welcomed Sundays. That was a time that we couldn't do things, and we had to be kind of starched up in some of our clothing, so a lot of these old regulations. But Lord, as we have freed ourselves from some of these regulations, that we haven't thrown out what Sabbath is all about, and that we find it in you. And so thank you for that precious gift. May we experience a peace. We may experience a comfort. May we experience a wholeness. May we experience a blessing and through the gift of Sabbath. Hear our prayer. We ask your blessing in all that we do, and so that in all the days of our lives we may have a testimony. We may testimony to the eternal rest that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.